Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Hi, Martin.
Are you doing well? I'm a bit under the weather. I have a frog in the throat, but we'll get through it.
Is it a pet frog?
No, please no. I don't want it for a pet. It can go now.
Okay.
So, we've got some interesting things again. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it's a blessing to work for you, and we thank you, Dave, for that. We ask that you bless the discussion and also enlighten our minds once more, that we can put the prophetic picture together. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I see we both have, what do they call them? Jerseys, pullovers, jumpers, whatever language, whatever country you're in, it's cold.
Yeah. No, today, I also capitulated. I got
capitulated. What does it say on that?
I don't know. Unfortunately, I never read what's on these things. So sometimes it can get me into trouble. So okay. I don't think you must read. Just I don't know what's on.
Right.
Or it just looks like a stamp.
So I will refrain.
It's okay. Nothing bad.
Well, we're going to talk about climate change. Hysteria. Martin, is there climate change hysteria in the world?
You know what? The more I see all this hysteria about the climate going on, the more I can see that people are so deceived.
Yes, personally, of course, I believe that they don't take everything into account.
No.
They don't take chemtrails into account. They don't take harp technology into account. They don't take supernatural activity mm-hmm. into account. Whatever you want to call, there's more than meets the eye. And I always find it so interesting that they say, you know, this is the hottest year forever. And then you get an old newspaper and it was just as hot 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know what?
No, it shows you that people have to start realizing. That's why we're like a broken record.
Yes.
Every now, we're carrying on the same things. Climate change, digital identity, all this. But
it's if you repeat a lie often enough, eventually people will start believing it, right?
And that's the sad part. Even the church starts getting on the bandwagon. And then you're not alert anymore or sensitive to see what's going on.
Correct. And if the church gets onto that bandwagon, particularly our one, you should say, excuse me, we have a message to bear, a three angels message, and this soapbox is irrelevant except in the context of the third angel's message.
Mm-hmm.
If your message is in the context of the third angel's message, then fine. But if you're climbing onto the bandwagon and joining the hysteria, when all the reputable climatologists are saying this is a load of nonsense, then I'm afraid then you've been hoodwinked.
Yeah, because once you don't see that part, you won't be looking for ways of deception.
Yes.
You'll just take it as it is and, oh, this is just part of what it should be.
Yes. So let's look at some climate change hysteria. I'm really quite bored with it.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to be with it for quite a while until the end.
Until it finally culminates in the third angel's message.
That's it.
And the lockdowns and the push for Sunday laws. Martin, how often have we read these verses?
Well, I think it's a good idea to know this whole chapter by heart.
Well, I think if we carry on like this, it should become a reality pretty soon. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and these are just the beginnings of sorrows, which means it gets worse. So the good news is it's going to get worse.
And so coming back to what you said earlier, you should get used to this, even if you don't like it, because we're going to be sitting with this for a while.
Yes. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. It's when we get to that point that we get into stress mode, right?
And we'll be seeing today again. Are there talks? Are there? What was the precursors during the last 2 years of maybe telling you, okay, this is the way that they might implement these?
And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I think they're doing a pretty good job on that one already. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Martin, could this become a reality within the church?
I think it's already becoming a reality.
Don't go any further. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You know, Martin, that's quite a heavy mouthful to swallow, right?
At least there's a promise again.
Yes. In the end. Yes, there is a solution. So why are we doing this? Because we have to be watchmen on the walls of Zion. Mm. And we have to see and identify the approaching danger. Mm. Martin, here's an interesting article in Time. And it's by Mariana Mazzucato. And you can give us a little lowdown on her in a moment. Just to say that this article was written in 2020. And it's almost like a prophetic picture of what she envisioned would happen.
Yeah, so she's very prominent in the economy as an advisor and all of those things. And she's a professor as well at, I think, a London university or so. So she'll be part of those that may be in the know.
Okay. Well, to get an article into Time means that you have some profile.
Yeah.
So she's writing here in 2020 as if it is 2023. And we're getting there. It's pretty close. It's 2023. Here's how we fixed the global economy. The COVID-19 pandemic has come to an end. Well, that's prophetic because it was written in 2020, right? It's funny that she says it has come to an end, but the legislation around it has not come to an end. And the global economy is on the path to recovery. How did we get here? How did our economy and society evolve to overcome the greatest crisis of our age? Let's begin in the summer of 2020, when the unabated spread of disease was heralding an increasingly dire outlook for economic societies. It became clear that new policies were needed to address climate risks. So that's her very first point. Mm-hmm. Incentivize green lending, scale up financial institutions tackling social and environmental goals, and ban financial sector activity that didn't serve a clear public purpose. Does that sound like the common good?
That sounds like a common good, and I just wanted to say there that the language is very similar to the Pope. So
yes. Well, maybe they all sat around a table and contrived all of this terminology. On February 11, 2021, the FDA approved the most promising COVID-19 vaccine for manufacture in the U.S. Mass production began immediately. Plans for swift global distribution kicked in. So 2021... And she wrote this in 2020.
And that was pretty close, if I'm not mistaken, to the exact date. Yeah.
All right. So we won't call her a prophet, will we?
No.
Just someone in the know.
Yeah.
In the summer of 2022, the other major crisis of our age took a turn for the apocalyptic. Climate breakdown finally landed in the developed world, testing the resilience of social systems. Now, Martin, it's very interesting that you can predict the time when climate catastrophe will strike.
Exactly.
And when super droughts and super rainfalls and other catastrophes will strike at the same time. What if you have a button to control those things? The Midwestern USA, a severe drought wiped out crops that supplied 1/6 of the world's grain output. So is there here an idea that is being planted of famine?
Definitely. And it's linked to climate change.
People woke up to the need of governments to form coordinated response to climate change and direct global fiscal stimulus in support of a green economy. That's a universal issue. A new concept of a healthy green deal emerged in which climate targets and well-being targets were seen as complementary and required both supply and demand side policies. The concept of social infrastructure became as important as physical infrastructure. Those are all buzzwords that are being bandied around, particularly in Jesuit circles.
Yes.
And so we stand here in 2023, the same people, but in a different society. COVID-19 convinced us we could not go back to business as usual. The world has embraced a new normal that ensures public-private collaboration as driven by public interest, not private profit. Now, Martin, public-private collaboration, together with government collaboration, is a form of fascism.
And that's, like you always said, the main objective of the Jesuits.
And I find it so interesting that Joe Biden is accusing the GOP constantly of a form of fascism.
It's this double blind that's going on.
Yes, they're playing a wonderful game. The COVID-19 pandemic took so much from us in lives lost and livelihoods shattered, but it also presented us with an opportunity to reshape our global economy, and we overcame our pain and trauma to unite and seize the moment. To secure a better future for all, it was the only thing to do. Now, Martin, this sounds all very well. It's like building a kingdom on this earth.
Yeah, well, if you can use their terminology, building back better.
All right, they want this complete by 2023. Not much time left, eh?
No.
Do you think that they have a speed train agenda?
Well, there's an interesting that there's so many dates popping up. They must be careful that they're not going to be labeled as time setters.
No, no, no. That could be very dangerous. They have to watch out for their time setting. So, map released August 25, 2022. And this is intensity of droughts.
Yeah. She mentioned the Midwest and all of that. And according to this, it's
everything that's red or black is extreme. So the only place that wets seems to be the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what they are saying. And basically, that is what she predicted.
The summer of 2022.
Yes. So this is a reality. All of a sudden, bang on time. It looks like Germany could have designed this schedule, because when they say it's going to be at this moment, then you can be sure then it'll happen.
Yeah.
So let's go to Europe. 20th July 2022, Brussels lays out EU gas crisis plan ahead of the coming winter. Now, we've just had a summer disaster. They are predicting a winter catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got, and we'll see it a little bit later as well, so you've got all these droughts. But what is, there's extra factors that's also leading to an energy crisis.
So the European Commission proposed on Wednesday, 20th of July, introducing a new target for EU countries to temporarily reduce by 15% their gas consumption, with the possibility of the goal becoming legally binding in case of emergency. So we have to be proactive. We have to prepare for a potential full disruption of Russian gas. And this is a likely scenario, said European Commission President Ursula von Leyen. And what I find interesting is that when the Trump administration was in power, Donald Trump warned Europe, and particularly Germany, that they were too reliant on Russian gas. And the Germans decided to ignore him. So this is sort of like, I told you so.
Yes. And right? This is also maybe a plan to gain some favor in with Donald Trump.
Okay, so this is all very interesting. Double blind. What if you knew there was going to be a crisis ahead of time, and you said there was a crisis so that you could say, "I told you so," so that the pendulum can swing? Is that possible, or is that now purely conspiracy?
Well, if you can't think like this, then you don't understand what the Bible is saying.
The prophecy tells us this is what's going to happen, irrespective of what the forces are that are driving it.
Yeah.
One of the forces that are actually involved, or that is actually involved, is the fact that the winds are being loosened.
Yes.
We must not forget that.
That's a biblical force.
Yes.
That's not a human force.
Yes. And to mitigate this disruption, the EU has tabled a communication for EU member states titled "Save Energy for a Safe Winter," and outlining energy demand reduction measures. Now, if it's a very cold winter, especially with global warming, it could probably be a very cold winter.
It's climate change.
Then we could have a situation where people are heating their houses and they can be blamed for the calamity.
Yes.
So that it's never someone else, it's always the public that has to conform to some particular
exactly
norm.
And if you don't conform, you are an enemy to the common good.
Because yes, and you don't love your neighbor.
Yes, that's it. So this is all intertwined every time, because that's the same. If you didn't adhere to certain regulations, you could be labeled as a murderer.
Yes. Isn't it interesting, Martin, that one volcanic eruption can put more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than the entire industrial world can achieve in a year?
Yeah.
Another turns off hot water with the eye to winter gas shortages. This is just turning on the screws. A time of trouble such as?
Never.
Was. Now, in the old days, you weren't reliant on all these public supply mechanisms. But today, in the cities, you are.
Yeah.
Now, Martin, so where would you not be reliant on all of these public...
Maybe in the country.
Would it perhaps be wise to get out into the country?
I think it can be wise.
Okay. So the German city of Hanover has laid out measures to cut gas dependency on Russia ahead of the winter period. Heating will be limited in public buildings with no hot water and no lighting of public landmarks. The city will limit the period in which public buildings are heated between October and March, with a maximum temperature generally set at 20 degrees Celsius. Martin, 20 degrees Celsius for me is freezing.
Yeah.
to a European and a Canadian, it's perhaps rather temperate and pleasant.
Yeah.
But where we live, we pull out these things.
Exactly.
In storage areas and on public transport, that maximum will be between 10 and 15 degrees. Heating more generally will be switched off or lowered in areas where it is not strictly necessary. Sports halls, gyms would also be asked to limit heating to 15 degrees with no more warm water when showering. But I think country living sounds rather inviting.
Yeah, yeah.
There will be no more outdoor lighting of public buildings, museums, and sites, with wider efforts to limit permanent lighting inside buildings. Public fountains will also be shut down. It sounds like our country.
I wanted to mention that. We showed the last time as well. We've gotten used to this type of...
Yes, I've been practicing this for years.
Years.
So let's look at the energy crisis and see what Wion has to say on the issue.
So what is Europe doing to stave off the crisis? It is slashing energy consumption. Germany has switched off street lights. France has banned illuminated billboards. Italy has extended the life of coal power plants. Spain has limited air conditioning at airports.
Germany is undertaking a raft of measures. They include a ban on heating private swimming pools, a ban on heating at some public buildings, lowering the minimum office temperature to 19 degrees Celsius, and switching off most street lights. Same story in France. In Italy, where elections are due in September, the authorities are treading carefully. Their energy savings plan includes steps like extending the life of coal plants, temporarily halting work at factories, and shortening heating hours at workplaces. In Spain, which is not as dependent on Russian energy supplies, the reserves are being safeguarded in case the war spills over. These four countries are not alone. They're joined by several others in reducing energy consumption. Like Switzerland, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, the Netherlands, Austria, and Greece.
Okay, Martin, so it seems as this is going to be a universal phenomenon, mm-hmm. with the Western countries apparently attempting to lead the way.
Now, if you look at this, banning this and that, isn't that a form of lockdown?
Yes, of course it's a form of lockdown, because you're saying you can't go to those places, and if you do go, you better take a torch because it's going to be dark.
The precursor has been put in place for the past 2-3 years, and now it's just spilling over to all the other plans that they have.
All right, now when you look at all the nations in the world, the driving nations in terms of all of this, in terms of the activities, the legislation, they seem to be Europe and the United States, largely, right? Ten horns, Martin?
That's it. And the image of the beast.
And the rest of the world following?
Yeah.
Is Australia complying? New Zealand complying? South Africa trying to comply? Oh, well, they've complied already.
Yeah, for quite a long time already.
Solution there is just let the infrastructure go to pot, and then you don't have to worry about switching it on.
It's true.
So that's how it works. So let's just look at this system again. Remembering what the political system is that the Jesuits favor. Fascism. Now, we've always said not fascism like in, you know, marching in strict line, etc., but government and industry and partnership for community.
Yeah.
That is the definition of fascism. So here we have an article from the World Economic Forum, and the World Economic Forum and the UN signed strategic partnership framework. Martin, partnership. Mm. Now the UN, is that concerned with the politics?
Yes.
Okay. And the Economic Forum, is that concerned with industry and economics?
Yes.
So if they sign a partnership, for the sake of the community, that's fascism.
That's it. And if you look at the date, this was in 2019. Interesting. Just before everything started to go haywire.
All right. And so they've got all their role players together. Now, in the Middle Ages, you had a feudal system. And the feudal system was what Rome really liked, because it had to control only certain aspects in order to control everything. So you had your feudal lords. They were the aristocracy. Mm. They owned the land. And then you had the serfs. And they occupied what belonged to the feudal lords. And this is how the economy worked. They were given a certain amount of autonomy in terms of what they did, where they lived, but they didn't own anything.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to be happy.
That sounds familiar.
Doesn't it sound familiar? That's how it worked in the feudal system. Now, today, we don't have that aristocracy anymore. We still have some of the titles, like in Germany, von so-and-so. Or von und zu, if it now really becomes, you know, elitist.
Yeah.
But today, that is gone. So who has taken the place of the feudal lords? The corporations. So the corporations have now become the feudal lords, and the multi-billionaires that run the corporations, they are the new aristocracy.
And what happened now is, in the past few years, they've gained a lot of power.
Yes.
Because the rest of the smaller businesses have gone down.
All right. Now, this partnership has to be for the sake of the community. And let's take a typical example. You have a wildlife area and there are indigenous people living there. Then you develop that government and industry together, and the community that still lives in its same in the same way that it did before gets a benefit, not the individual but the community, so that housing is supplied, etc., etc. And that is the system. And everybody thinks that they are really part of the system, but they have no decision-making capacity. So in this system, a large corporation will supply the dwellings for its workers. And as long as you are employed by this corporation, you will be locked into that feudal system.
Yeah.
And that is a form of fascism. So we've just redefined it and brought it into the modern times. Okay, so why did they create this? So the UN Forum Partnership was signed in a meeting held at the United Nations headquarters between UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and World Economic Founder and Executive Chairman Klaus Schwab to accelerate the implementation of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Now, Martin, we've heard many a voice saying that this has to be hastened.
Yes.
The 2030 is just a little bit too far away. People are saying, no, 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 we must move towards 2027, 2025. Mm-hmm. So I find that very interesting. But let's not do any dangerous time setting. Let's just say this is their agenda. The partnership identifies six areas of focus: financing the 2030 agenda, climate change, health, digital cooperation, gender equality, and empowerment of women. You know, it's amazing what the impact of climate change is on gender equality.
Even that is a gender problem, yes.
Yes.
And it's racist.
And it's probably because of global... Is it cooling or warming?
No, it's climate change.
Oh, climate change. Education and skills. Now, how much of society does this actually entail?
All.
All of it. Mm-hmm. All right. So whoever is in charge wants total control.
Exactly.
To strengthen and broaden their combined impact by building on existing and new collaborations. So it's not a question of communism where the one takes over the other. This is a social system based on fascism. So let's listen to this declaration and see what some people think about it.
This afternoon, the Secretary General and Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, will witness the signing of a memorandum of understanding on a strategic partnership between the UN and the World Economic Forum, which outlines areas of cooperation to deepen engagement between the two institutions and to jointly accelerate the implementation of the 2030 agenda.
Okay, Martin. So that was the announcement of what would happen. So plans are falling into place.
Mm-hmm. And remember, the 2030 agenda has, like we've read, it's got to do with climate change and the implementation of these measures. So,
and as we've said, the world doesn't take into account the spiritual aspects behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So let's just go to the great controversy just to enlighten ourselves on that issue. Satan works through the elements also to garner a harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control the elements as far as God allows. Does he use his agents to do that too?
Yes, so you'll have humans doing this for him. some of his angels will probably also be involved.
So when he was suffered to afflict Job, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another as in a moment. It is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer. But the Christian world have shown contempt for the law of Jehovah, and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would do. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. So those angels are loosening their hold on the winds?
Yes.
Is this what it says?
That's exactly. So it can be somewhat confusing sometimes if you say there's this hype over the climate change, but there's also some truth in that it is said in the Bible as well, that the angels will loose the winds.
They will loosen the winds. So the Guardian says, humanity faces collective suicide over climate crisis, warns UN chief. So are they making this a prominent issue?
No. Everywhere you look, it's if you watch a nature program or you watch the news, everywhere it's prevalent.
Now, in that previous statement that we read, it was because they were neglecting God's directives, his commandments, correct? So might we find that they will move back to their form of the commandments?
Yes. Okay. Legislation will be implemented.
Antonio Guterres told ministers from 40 countries meeting to discuss the climate crisis on Monday, half of humanity is in the danger zone from floods, droughts, extreme storms, wildfires. No nation is immune, yet we continue to feed our fossil fuel addiction. It's interesting what is happening in countries like Pakistan, for example, where half the country is flooded.
Yes.
And that's not an area that is so readily flooded.
No. And then you get the other portions that's normally quite wet. We got droughts.
We have a choice, collective action or collective suicide. It is in our hands. Wildfires raged at the weekend across Europe and North America, South America. Machu Picchu archaeological site was threatened by fire. Extreme heat has broken records around the world in recent months as heat waves have struck India, South Asia. Droughts have devastated parts of Africa. Unprecedented heat waves at both poles simultaneously astonished scientists in March. In the UK, an extreme heat wave was issued with the hottest temperatures ever recorded in the UK, expected on Monday, and highs above 40 forecast in some places. So, Martin, this is hype. Let's call it hype.
Yeah.
Okay, Martin. So here we have some interesting articles. This one from 1975. And there they said that it was super hot, 40 degrees and above, and climate change was not even a talking point at that particular time. And then you have this interesting graph here. It's been drier. Rainfall in May, June, and July before past drought. 1921, 1976, 2022. So, Martin, the very worst droughts were in 1921. Mm. Martin, they're lying to us. Let's put it bluntly. They are relying on cognitive dissonance. That people who are around 20 years old will not remember what happened in 1921, and neither will those that are 80 years old remember what happened in 1921. And as long as they don't remember that and they don't dig up these articles, they might be induced to believe that this is totally out of the order.
It's creating this hype that they can get all their laws and rules implemented.
And why do they want these laws and rules? This is what we're heading for, right? So, Martin, when they say on the BBC, Europe heat wave outdoor events banned in parts of France, and they produce all of this hype and talk about 40 degrees. We've just seen that this has been quite a regular occurrence in the course of history.
Yeah, and once again, we move back to banned, outdoor events banned. So that's a form of lockdown. That's, you see what I'm getting at?
Yes, absolutely.
The whole time, they showing you that they are going to implement rules, and if you don't adhere to it, you are going to be against the common good.
Yes. Now, you can do this on any scale. A few years ago, there was a terrific drought in the Cape, and there were severe water shortages and water restrictions that were put in place. Within 1 year, that drought was completely broken. Now, which one was the climate change, the breaking of the drought or the drought?
You know what? Even Australia, they had that huge drought and then the flooding. But now they also, you know, they put everything towards climate change. So this is also, like you say, climate change, because the extremes are also. So.
Correct. And why did they have to change their terminology from global warming to climate change? Because they couldn't sustain their arguments.
Yes. So if you think of it, since the flood of Noah, climate change has been ongoing.
Do you know that we have climate change 4 times a year?
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know. Here in Southern Africa, around June, July, all of a sudden we have global cooling. And then in December, January, and February, we have global warming. It's called winter and it's called summer.
And sometimes the cycle goes, it's a little bit drier, and within a few years, say 5 or 7 years, it goes back up. Didn't they have climate change then in Egypt as well?
Yes, a few years ago they were saying, you know, the snowfalls are so much less in Europe. And then they had record snowfalls again. So it's a cycle. It's what happens in nature. But let's see what the media does with it. And let's see what they have to say.
For millions of Europeans, the summer of 2022 has been sweltering. A dry spring and hotter than usual temperatures have left several European countries in the grip of drought. Extreme heat waves and forest fires have plagued France, Italy, Spain, and Portugal for weeks. The UK has recorded temperatures over 40 degrees Celsius for the first time. And rivers on the continent are drying up. In the Netherlands and Germany, the River Rhine has dropped so low that houseboats have become stranded and commercial ships can't carry full loads anymore.
Our final story is about climate change. Scientists have tried explaining it for years. They've given lectures, they've published papers, but none of it has really moved our world leaders. Maybe pictures will. What you're looking at is a reservoir in Spain. 84% empty. You can see the paddle boats and water slides abandoned nearby. Aquatic life driven to death. The reason? Climate change. Spain had its hottest July since 1961. Some parts of the Iberian Peninsula are at their driest in 1200 years. Let that sink in. 1200 years.
Spain's medieval reservoirs, ruins of ancient villages, bathhouses and churches are facing the impact of climate change. The Iberian Peninsula is reeling under one of its driest seasons in 1200 years, putting further strain on Europe's largest network of dammed reservoirs.
This medieval bridge was flooded in the 50s to create a reservoir in central Spain. Now it's exposed again, and sheep shelter there from the relentless sun.
If this is not an emergency, I don't know what is. The pictures, the data, the testimonies, all of them hint at a climate emergency in Europe. It is not some distant threat anymore. It is very much here. And as we prepare to enter the winter season, more questions remain. Yes, the heat will disappear, but what climatic shock will winter behold?
Martin, that is one side of the picture. And I remember years ago, I gave a lecture on this kind of issue. And at that stage, I was still pretty much in favor of the scientific way of thinking. And in the meantime, I've come to the conclusion that these cycles have occurred many, many times. And we've shown many climatologists on WhatsApp, Prof, that are really high up in this particular field. And they blatantly deny that what is being said is actually taking place. or that the reasons why it is taking place are what they say, what they are. So here's another nice example of particularly this. I mean, we've heard for years that the Great Barrier Reef is under tremendous threat, and that is because of climate change. So let's hear what these experts have to say on that issue.
Now, you think that anyone who genuinely cares about the environment would be absolutely thrilled about the fact that two-thirds of the Great Barrier Reef have shown the largest amount of coral cover in 36 years. Surely they would be happy about this outcome after all the doom and gloom predictions of the reef dying. But no, the media is desperately looking for any reason to present this as bad news. They're even fact-checking memes mocking the persistently wrong climate predictions we've all seen over the past 20 to 30 years. I retweeted this meme and posted it on Instagram with this simple question: have the climate catastrophists ever got a prediction right? When you would not believe what happened next. I got this absurd fact check inverted commas, claiming the meme appears to downplay the damage climate change can cause coral reefs by comparing two tweets. Of course, this activist article posing as a fact check did not have a byline. The cowards pushing this nonsense just want to scare the social media sites to not even allow any dissent, not even if it's a joke. So let's get a man who is an actual scientist and who puts his name to his work. He's a marine physicist and author, Peter Ridd. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Tell me, what's your reaction to the media reporting of the data from the official long-term monitoring program of the reef showing massive growth in coral cover?
Well, that wasn't a fact check, that was a fact twist. And really all they said when you actually read it is you've just got to believe the experts. The experts still say that the reef is doomed. And the reason that they sort of managed to get to was because now we've got too much this supposedly fast-growing corals that takes 5 to 10 years to grow. And they sort of ignore the fact that they've been telling us we've had four massive bleaching events in the last 6 years, and this is the sort of coral that's grown back, and that now, because we've got too much of this coral, we're now even more susceptible to the climate change like we've had in the last 5 or 6 years. So there's a sort of circular argument here that just doesn't work at all.
So, Martin, if you persist in telling a narrative over and over again, irrespective of any counter-arguments, your argument will prevail, especially if you use the media.
That's it, because the media is the all and end all. Because if the climate scientist says against the media, then he's a conspiracy theorist.
Absolutely, then he's a conspiracy theorist. So let's just see how far this will go. So irrespective of whether it's true or whether it's not true, that's not the point. The point is, things are going to move in a particular direction, and somehow Rome must be involved, because the first beast is going to be worshipped. How do you worship the first beast? By obeying its dictates. So here's an article from Earthbeat from July 2022. African youth deliver environmental demands to bishops at Laudato Si meeting. Martin, has Laudato Si a religious connotation?
Definitely. It's the encyclical by the Pope about the climate.
So, and all the governments are on board using the name. And sooner or later, something's going to happen by popular demand.
Yeah.
So here's the youth asking. The youth demands were delivered to bishops' meeting as part of the 20th plenary of the Association of Members of the Episcopal Conference of Eastern Africa, a regional grouping of bishops from Eritrea, Ethiopia, Kenya, Malawi, South Sudan, Sudan, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zambia. The nine-day meeting held in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, is focused on the theme environmental impact on integral human development, through the lens of Francis' 2015 encyclical Laudato Si on the care for our common home. Isn't it interesting what lens they use?
Yes.
They also proposed that bishops create Laudato Si clubs along with a Laudato Si fund to lead community projects, including during the season of creation, September 1 to October 4, and on an established Laudato Si day. I wonder whether we could have a weekly Laudato Si day. Wouldn't that be nice?
I think it's on the books.
We are calling on our bishops to instill the spirit of care for creation to the members of the church and to actively participate in Laudato Si implementation, the Catholic Youth Statement said. So we want implementation of a papal decree.
That's it. And you asked the question, or you made a point, that by popular demand. Isn't this popular demand?
This is popular demand. Here's UCA News. This is the Union of Catholic Asian News. It's also from July 2022. Francis, a pope who saves the creation. I wonder what we would do without him. As we see the ecological disasters caused by climate change, we must heed Pope Francis's call to save the planet. Now, we don't have to read about his encyclical, etc. But the point is, the whole world wandered after the beast. Wandered, if you look it up, means to wonder, to admire. Are they admiring him?
Yes. Oh, for sure. And it includes not only Christians.
Now tell me, is that a fulfillment of prophecy?
Yes.
Pope Francis urges world leaders to act on extreme weather. So in a message on Thursday for the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, he urged nations to confront climate change with the same attention as global challenges like wars and health crises, saying global warming hurts the poor and indigenous populations the most. This, of course, is one of his favorite mantras because it gets the attention of the masses.
Always.
In the first place, it is our sister, Mother Earth. Martin, when I read that, I get slightly nauseous. No, extremely nauseous. But I will curtail my feelings. And she cries out, "Pray to our consumerist excesses." She weeps and implores us to put an end to our abuses and to her destruction, he wrote. He's a very flowery writer. Cardinal Michael Czerny, a Canadian Jesuit who runs the Vatican's Ecology and Development Office, said, "All new exploration and production of coal, oil, and gas must immediately end." Martin, a Jesuit, has just spoken.
Now it's going to be, well, is Europe already cutting down?
Yes.
Is South Africa in trouble?
Yes.
But what excuse do they use? A war. All of, but their plan is being implemented.
It doesn't matter what excuse they use. And existing production of fossil fuels must be urgently phased out, Czerny added. Now, Martin, I find this fascinating. We have a Jesuit pope. We have a Jesuit climate person over here. And we have governments dancing to this tune. Mm-hmm. Always look at the result. Now, Martin, if the Pope could bless all our rivers, wouldn't that curtail drought and the falling water level of the rivers?
It probably could, according to them.
So let's see what he has done about this issue.
Bless all those who will enter into this water and use it. Protect them in their daily journey to you, and in the service to others and the care of all creation. Father, by the sign of the Holy Sprinkling, the remembrance of our rebirth from water of the Spirit, as we await new heavens and new earth.
Thank you.
I don't have much to say on the issue, lest I say something that could be misconstrued. Have you something to say?
Well, I have to get myself together now. But on the article that we read, that sister and Mother Earth, it's actually pantheism.
Of course it's pantheism.
And this, what we just saw, it's the same as idolatry and pantheism.
Correct. So is this the worship of the true God?
No, definitely not.
All right, now where's it leading to? There's an article from the 27th of August, 2022. And, you know, Martin, just to get it back to a serious note, we show these articles continuously. The point is, they don't stop.
And that is so important, because you cannot get bored with this, because unfortunately, this has to show you this is planned and it's not going to stop.
And you have this notion that if you repeat something over and over and over again, eventually it gets lodged in the human psyche. So it's not something that they mention and then back off.
No.
No.
It's actually picking up steam.
So here is CNE News, and it says, Sunday is for prayer, not for shopping, says the Polish government. The Polish government is organizing a roundtable with trade industry representatives about the Sunday closure. Now, remember, this is a country that already has Sunday legislation in place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But their voice in Europe is becoming more prominent.
Yes, very more prominent. And it is a warning for anybody else in the way that they might not adhere to the rules.
Yes, and this country, Poland, is actually a very important country strategically, let's put it this way, because they are the barrier between Russia and the rest, right? So especially Marlena Malak, the Minister of Family, stresses that the Sunday as the most important day of the week is for family and prayer, not for spending in the store. Since 2018, Poland has a ban on Sunday trading, writes Notes from Poland. This legislation was introduced by the governing National Conservative Law and Justice Party. This ban was supported by the Solidarity Trade Union and the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the trade unions will play a part in introducing a time of trouble such as never was. The family minister underlined that all businesses should comply with the Sunday trading ban this week. The roundtable is expected to take place early next year. Are they tightening the screws?
Yes.
So obviously they turned a blind eye here and there, but that is coming to an end.
You see, these stores found some loopholes. For instance, they had a reading. You could go into the store and read, but then you could also buy something.
Uh-huh.
So they found some loopholes, but now they want to get rid of those loopholes.
No loopholes. Is Sunday law legislation going to be very restrictive?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our previous one, we showed that the evangelicals in the United States of America were saying that we have to get the power back.
Yes.
And people will have to get used to living in a Christian society under Christian laws.
Yes.
Didn't they say that?
That's their whole mantra.
That's where they're heading. Now, when they get the opportunity to do that, when they implement that, are they going to let go easily after all these years of taking a backseat?
No.
They're going to latch onto it and not let go. These laws, Martin, are going to be draconian. Have they practiced draconian laws in the last few years?
Yes. Exactly. Lockdowns, coercion, All of it's been implemented.
Have the churches joined governments in this venture?
Exactly.
So some of them did.
Yeah, church and state.
And that's a terrible thing that that happened, and it's very sad that it happened, and it should never have happened. So the bottom line of all of this is that we are heading in a particular direction. The world is preparing for a particular time, and they're saying we have a very short window, very small window of opportunity. And it is time to start listening. And the one that they want to listen to is the man in Rome. And they want to make an image to the beast. That beast was restrictive and enforced its legislation via the state. An image is another organization that will do exactly the same. So if that was Catholicism in the Middle Ages that wielded the sword over secularism, then in this case it will be Protestantism, the evangelical world, wielding the sword over the civil society and implementing laws to further their agenda.
And if you think of it, the left will be shouting on the liberal laws that are being done with, like for instance, Roe versus Wade. But all of them will be fine with the Sunday legislation.
All of them will be happy because that is climate linked. This is a very clever agenda. And this is exactly what the Bible predicts. When that image is set up, when an image is not like the original, it's not the same thing. So here you must have the evangelical world, as we've shown in the previous one, dictating to the government religious laws, and you better get used to it. That's what they said. And they're going to be very, very restrictive. Eventually leading to economic disenfranchisement, and then eventually leading to a death decree. You either comply or else. That's where it's heading. Did the first beast do that in the Middle Ages?
Exactly.
So the second beast will do it in the time that we are living in. And if people don't wake up, they will be swallowed up by these lies. Because if you repeat these lies over and over and over again, eventually people will believe them. May God give us wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, prophecy is fulfilling before our eyes. And humanity needs to be warned. They are thinking that they are fighting for good causes when they are in rebellion against you and against your law. Help us to bring this message across urgently. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.